Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello, dear listeners. Before introducing the main topic, today's episode is not hosted by Lauren Borgman, as you may have already noticed. This is an experimental episode made only by students from Germany. My name is Michele Barbara, the host for today's show, and we hope that this experimental episode will be as enjoyable as the others. Without further ado, let's start. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to show
301 of our podcast,
Absolutely Intercultural. Today, we are going to talk about a topic that many of you might have strong feelings about, which is dynamics of religion. It is a topic that produces diverse perspectives depending on cultural background and lifestyle choices all around the world. When we first brainstormed the subject, we were afraid of touching a very sensible subject like religion. We realized how everyone in our team had diverse beliefs coming from different cultures with respective approaches, but we still feel the same way towards the concept of belief, whether that might be related to a religious devotion or a strong passion. As always, our goal in this episode is to not support one perspective over another, but to offer a platform for a range of voices to share their stories and perceptions. This is the Absolutely Intercultural podcast, and we seriously appreciate cultural diversity and different views, and absolutely everyone is welcome to think absolutely everything about this topic. By listening to this episode, we hope to encourage a deeper understanding and promote a more thoughtful and respectful dialogue on this topic. Let's listen to a short preview of what we will hear from our guests today. In our first story, Absolutely Motivating, we will listen to Nicole, a nurse from Germany. Nicole talks about how she helped patients to move on and recover, and she saw that people with a goal in mind were recovering much faster.
And because they believed in a specific goal they want to do, they were getting better. So it was the biggest motivation for them to do something like...
In our second story, Absolutely Passionate, we will listen to Sherif, a practicing Muslim, who tells us about how much effect religion has on his life, even changing what he's willing to eat.
I'm passionate on it. But religion, I think it has an impact on my lifestyle, my food, I think every bit of my existence. Religion has impact.
In our last story, Absolutely Suppressed, we will listen to Matilda from Albania, who experienced her country as it went through a dictatorship and became an anti-religious nation. In her story, she tells us that people continued to practice their beliefs, even when they had to hide it.
So they didn't really do that openly, but people, I mean, those that believed, and you couldn't really take that out of them.
Let us begin the show. In our first story, Absolutely Motivating, Nicole shares her story of working as a nurse in the ICU, the intensive care unit, the section of the hospital where patients are going through the most extreme care because of their terrible health condition. While working, she noticed that many of the end-of-life patients and patients who were in extreme circumstances would often use their passions, beliefs, or their religions to help them ease the pain of dying or to motivate their recovery. Let's listen as she tells us her experience working in the ICU.
So at the ICU, hopefully everyone will get better and get back to life, but some of the patients are gonna die. So of course, you're confronted with the dying process. So yeah, I had patients in the dying process who were religious, and I think the thoughts that they had has given them faith and a lot of strength, and they weren't afraid at all. Not just religion, every motivation they have, like a goal, helps them to get motivated to become better. So there were patients that were paralyzed and they had a completely different behavior before. So they were sporty and doing stuff, crazy stuff. Sometimes they were mountain biking or something like that and they couldn't do it anymore. And sometimes the priorities change. So they're passionate about sports or something, and after a crash or something, they change priorities to their families or something, and they are not that passionate about sports anymore. But on the other side, the passion about sports or something like that, even musicians or something, can help them to come over some sicknesses. Like even when you have a stroke and you want to do you want to go mountain bike, for example, they have a goal in mind, so they want to do it and they are so passionate about the goal that they are getting more stronger to do things and to become better. And because they believed in a specific goal they want to do, they were getting better. So it was the biggest motivation for them to do something like help other patients, or I don't know, even career path changing or something like that. They had a specific goal and they wanted to do it, so they were becoming better. So they had faith in their life. They still had faith in the worst position you're gonna have, I think. And they were believing that there still is an opportunity to have a good life.
Nicole's stories shows us that holding on to your beliefs during tough times, like facing death, can make it easier to get through. These beliefs, even when challenged or changed, help someone find a new meaning in life, a new lifestyle to follow, or just to get out of the hospital to continue doing what makes you happy. The theme of belief as a guiding light is going to be a common factor in today's stories and is a concept easily linked with religion, but very few people connect it with diverse passions like music or sports. In our second category, absolutely passionate, we hear from Sheriff, who explains how his life is and how religion keeps him in his boundaries. He emphasizes on understanding it and using it as a guidance to become a better person. He tells us that he believes that being so passionate about something could drive you insane.
Let me first tell what I believe a religion actually is. For me, religion is like a way of life which gives you a certain limits, which makes you go under a certain limits, even though you are not punished of crossing it. And I believe religion kind of pushes you towards sanity, away from insanity. Okay, but it doesn't mean that I oppose the ideology of being so passionate about something. But in my opinion, when you are so passionate about something, sometimes it may make you go insane. Let's say I am also passionate about some other things, but I don't believe that that is going to have an impact on my life just because I'm passionate on it. But religion, I think it has an impact on my lifestyle, my food, I think every bit of my existence. Religion has impact. The being passionate about something will never have an impact. That's my belief, honestly.
You say that being passionate about something won't have so much of an impact as religion would. Mm-hmm. But in current times, we're seeing this big rise of atheism and this big concept that instead of following religion and religious values, instead following objective facts like science, where it's theory and practice. Do you think that will change the nature of that statement, or do you think that will remain true but change how it goes?
I believe religion is just a feeling, and it's not a thing which is proved by science. Say, like, there are a lot of things which science has not yet explored, okay? But there are religion, there are some things in religions which have, which tell the hidden meaning which science finds nowadays. But what I believe is that religion is a feeling and science is just a fact. The fact that sun rises in the east will not have an impact on how I pray or what I want to do, right? The very important thing in our existence is just being happy. If you are not content with what you are going to do, I think you are not going to have anything at all. Let's say, like, I don't want to enter politically, but say you see videos of Palestinians being harmed. See, their only belief is religion. Like, whatever the video you see, like, they praise their God. So when you, even if you have nothing, you believe on something which kind of makes you live forward, which even in the worst situations, it makes you believe, like, okay, something good is going to happen, which gives you hope. I think that is better than just following what your heart desires. Following something which, like, can improve you actually is better than following something which may destroy you. I think that's my stand on it. Yeah.
Sherif really shows us a situation of clear distinction between passion and belief. At the end of the day, the differences between them depend on what you want to believe and how much you want to believe. Freedom of belief is what gives us the opportunity to build our principles and our opinions. Also, in Sherif's case, religion is his passion, and he had no problem finding his personal guiding light. Our last category, absolutely suppressed, we hear from Matilda, who tells us about time when people were limited in how they could profess their beliefs because of the Albanian dictatorship prohibitions. In this episode, we have discussed a lot about people freely believing and how they use that to guide their life. But what about when they are not free to believe at all? Matilda explains how people with strong beliefs during the dictatorship did not forget who they really were devoted to, something that newer generations were missing because of the absence of freedom to believe.
I come from a country where, in fact, religion was not free 30 years ago, and I lived that. The time of both times of religious restriction, religion restriction, and then allowance to believe. So I have lived both situations. Albania was under a dictatorship at that time, and one of the things that the Albanian population had to leave was also that particular violence of human rights overall. So not only were the overall, the religious clerics discriminated, and they were forced to, you know, not conduct further religious practices. But deep inside, they did not forget their beliefs, and kind of the new generation was brought up with the idea that the leadership was God. There was no other God than the leadership. So that was not an opinion that reigned all over, because, you know, the population had really grown conscious bit by bit about, you know, the situation. So by the end of the 90s, the first attempts to break off the chains were present. And even, you know, in families, people tried to reintroduce at least the rituals, although in a hidden sort of way. So they didn't really do that openly, but people, I mean, those that believed, and you couldn't really take that out of them. I mean, there are thousands of examples, even from our everyday life, not only me, myself, but other people my age that have lived that particular shift from one regime or from one situation to another, that they can tell how, you know, you cannot let go and you cannot really still the spirit of someone. So that lived on, of course. People did really preserve those values. They didn't really let go. But after 90s, looking at people practically rushing into the newly opened churches and mosques was quite an impression. You know, I didn't really believe that was quite an eager desire. It was like people were rushing to save themselves, to get themselves food. But that food for the heart and for the spirit, I had never seen before, that need, that demand, I had never seen before. And, you know, it was amazing to see. And it was very beautiful to see how in these very difficult moments where you really lack an orientation, a set of values, a purpose in life, when you are completely ripped of anything, we were practically discussing our survival in 1991. And of course, yes, the whole world then rushed with aid and support. You know, looking at people going to the church was such an impressive, you know, thing to live, to experience.
What an expected final turn of events. In difficult times like those, Matilda's experience tells us that people were eager to search for food for the spirit, as she describes. Matilda also showed us how faith guides people in their lives, and when something or someone forcefully removes those guides from them, people go searching for another set of values, like a goal to achieve or a deity to follow. Matilda was very impressed from what she saw after the country's liberation, and we were also fascinated by her experience, reminding us that belief is something that does not come granted in our life, and also something that everyone needs. Even without religion, there are still personal beliefs and motivations that will guide people in their lives towards diverse choices. What about you? Do you or someone you know have a strong passion about religion or something else, like a concept or a hobby? Do you feel there's no need for humans to believe in something? Or do you think there's something to say about beliefs that we did not touch here in this episode? Every opinion here at Absolutely Intercultural is accepted, and we would love to hear other voices on this argument. Get in touch. Feel free to share your unique story about cultural differences with us here on the podcast. Write a comment or mail us. We could do a follow-up interview with you in one of our next shows. On our webpage, absolutely-intercultural.com, you can get more information about the show and previous episodes, and you can leave comments. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know that we are also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify? You can subscribe to us there for free and gives us a rating and a comment. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 3rd of January. Until then, find out what your belief is and what pushes you to make your correct choices. And above all, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.